You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome into a more somber edition here of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News and the Fieldhouse. Joining me, former headman of 8.9 seconds, Jared Wade. Jared, crazy NBA news today. Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz has contracted coronavirus. The Jazz Thunder game was canceled, and the NBA is suspended. I don't even know what to say besides what was your first reaction when you heard the news?
Yeah, I mean, I guess somewhat surprising, but it's kind of been in the ether for the last, like, 24 hours, rumors. I follow, like, European football, soccer quite a bit, and over there, you know, especially in Italy, they had announced a few days ago anyways that they were going to cancel all sporting activities nationwide until April 3rd, I think it was, and obviously, like, the whole country's kind of locked down there. The Spanish League had announced they were going to do, like, games behind closed doors, they call it, which is, like, you know, with no fans. So, to the degree the U.S. is not taking it very seriously until, I guess, pretty much today, I wouldn't have been shocked if they continued on, but it was also, like, all the news that keeps coming out now.
Yeah,
now
30 like, minutes apart, it was Tom Hanks has it, no travel to and from Europe, and then Rudy Gobert has it, and the NBA is suspended. And that came on the heels of the NBA saying, well, first it was San Francisco had the no 1,000 or more people events. And then there were the NBA said, right. Okay, Warriors, no fans. And then it just kept going and going and going throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot already. March Madness already announced that they were going to have
no fans. Yeah.
And at this point, I can't even imagine them hosting the tournament at this point. Like,
Indy has a regional for that. Like, I'm sure they've been preparing. The Big Ten tournament happened with fans in Indy. I mean,
there's so many kids, right? Like, it's one thing to have, like, professional athletes out there who are millionaires going around and maybe risking themselves and playing games in no-fan environments.
Right.
But, like, what kind of, like, parents are letting, like, the 13th man on some mid-major team, like, get on a plane and fly across the country? Yeah. You know, it just doesn't seem logistically possible. The coach today for Nebraska is, like, sick on the
Brad
bench.
Hoiberg,
like,
yeah. He's hospitalized in Indy, actually.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if March Madness isn't canceled by tomorrow.
This update came 2 minutes ago, but at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the basketball team is still in the locker room there. That game ended, like, 2.5 hours ago.
Wow.
So this is, like, I had Jared come on because I needed just someone else's perspective on all this because this is a hard – this is a hard thing. This is really unprecedented for the NBA to have to suspend the entire season. And from a Pacers perspective, this is super interesting, right? Because they have a bunch of injured guys and a bunch of people are saying, well, this could be good. But, like, that's not the way you can look at it right now. You have to think of it from the league's perspective, from the Pacers perspective, as how can we keep our players healthy for as long as possible? Because, you know, we've seen in other countries, especially, like you said earlier, Italy, it goes from 600 people to 10,000 people. Right? Those are fictional numbers, but something insane like that in like a week. And with basketball, as soon as Gobert has it, you know, who knows, you know, he's practiced at a college in this place and played against this team that's also played against this, you know, who knows what kind of ripple effects it could have to any team, including the Pacers.
Yeah, because I was looking, I don't even know if the game happened tonight, but I think it was the Knicks Hawks were playing, and as of about a half an hour before the tip, you know, I saw on Twitter a credible reporter saying like this game is going to go on, and so I just happened to look at the Knicks schedule recently, and I think they had played the Jazz like on March 4th or 5th, you know, within the last 7 days anyway. And Gobert played I think 34 minutes in that game, and I'm just like, how are you going to have these guys go out on the court like and infect each other? Like, at least one of, I mean, they've all had secondary like, direct contact with Rudy Gobert. Possibly he's like sweated in their mouth, you know, like let alone yeah. Secondary contact. You could go through the whole league probably right now and get like a 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. And like everyone in the last 2 weeks has been in some sort of at least.
SAMU's had it. All 30 teams you can connect in the last like 10 days.
Yeah. I mean, of course. And then like, I don't know if the NHL, I bet the NHL will cancel something while we're on this podcast.
Well, I'm assuming I'm going to get 3 Woj tweets while I'm talking to you. Like it's that fast. I mean, strictly Pacers. I know you're talking league. You just talked Knicks and Hawks, right? The Pelicans-Kings game from tonight got canceled. the Pacers played the Celtics Tuesday. And first of all, Boston as a city, unrelated to the NBA, is where that bio conference was. I know you have some specific relationship to this, which I don't know if you want to go into that or not, but you know, Boston is like where a ton of it is spreading from. And the Jazz played the Celtics last Friday. Like, who even knows what kind of game that could have been? Who knows? You know, they had all the rules in place before that game happened, but there was still a whole crowd. There was still a lot of stuff similar to prior. You know, it was kind of like the in limbo from the rules come out to how they're executed in terms of all this stuff. So who knows what happened that night? Who knows how many, if any, but who knows how Celtics players are infected or any Celtics. It's unfathomable right now what could be happening in the next couple of weeks around the league.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you said the Celtics played the Jazz, like what, four different, 5 days
Friday,
ago?
Friday the 6th. The Pacers played on the 9th.
Right. So, I mean, who knows exactly how this contagion rate goes, how symptomatic versus contagious Rudy is. You know, none of us know that stuff, even months later from the China reports and stuff like that. That stuff is still being figured out by the experts. But it just tracks that, like, if Rudy, you know, played 30 minutes in that game, he was banging with Jason Tatum and all those guys, and then they were banging with Oladipo and all them the next couple days. So, I mean, it's a lot of these guys probably are at least carriers. You know, they're also probably some of the best physical specimens on earth. So, like, have great immune systems. They're young. They're genetically, like, incredible, right? So, like, maybe
the players aren't the guys you worry about because, like Evan Fournier said, he called Rudy and Rudy was like, yeah, well, feeling pretty good. And then I forget where I saw this report. I apologize to the reporter. I can't remember. But they said that Rudy, like, was going to play. Like, he felt like he could play in a basketball game. You know, the players, while obviously them getting coronavirus is terrible and it could affect some guys to the point of not being able to play, but, like, they're at the perfect age and physical condition for it not to truly affect them. They'll be fine. It's the people around them where it becomes a problem, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of these trainers, some of these, especially concession people, all these, you know, managers who are in the arenas all day working at the door, security, everything. I mean, some of these people have been there for decades. I'm sure, you know, some of them Banker's Life who've just been around, and these guys have been running into each other for, you know, days now. Yeah. The NBA guys are probably fine and asymptomatic, many of them, or, you know, just treating it like a cold and we're going to play through it. And, but yeah, it's all over the place. And, you know, as far as like the vectors on Earth go, like, it's probably a drop in the bucket, but, like, obviously that's what we're talking about. And the NBA, you know, it was for me, it was kind of, the more and more you saw, it was kind of inevitable.
As you mentioned,
so my sister worked for that company, Biogen, which is like a clinical research pharma company in Boston. I think they have several thousand employees in Massachusetts, and I'm like maybe 7,000, 8,000 globally. And they had, it was just a fairly small, like, international meeting, you know, something they may have quarterly or something like that, outside of their office in Boston in like a hotel or something. But I think it was like 150 people in a gathering, and there was like dinners the night before. And it first came out, I want to say like last Friday, that like three people from that meeting, I think some of them had come from Europe, were tested positive for coronavirus. And then 2 days later, my sister is like texting me and she's like, oh, my VP has it. So therefore, all of us have to work from home for the next 2 weeks. Fortunately, she hadn't had direct contact with him for, you know, a week or two, so probably okay. But, you know, she's had contact with people who have had contact with him. So I was kind of like getting up on this type of stuff a little maybe early, just because of her situation.
Well, you was the first I heard of it spreading.
Yeah, I think by yesterday or Tuesday, I think there was like 70 cases reported directly out of that meeting, and some of them were already down in North Carolina in some other office, and they were spreading it around. And, you know, obviously the other thing we've heard about is the Seattle stuff that's going on. But I think, you know, the lack of testing in the U.S. and all this stuff, from what I've been reading, I mean, it's just probably everywhere now.
It's flabbergasting. You know? It's unbelievable. It's so hard to focus on the basketball perspective on a basketball podcast because it's such a national, global, what have you issue. You could go on and on talking about whatever. Yeah.
And meanwhile, I mean, Trump had an actual address on it, and he seems to be taking it seriously for the first time now. And meanwhile, all flights from Europe are canceled for 30 days. So, like, on the grand scheme of things, that's obviously like a bigger thing for the
huge. Yeah. That's the story, right? If you're listening to this as a release from basketball, I apologize. We're getting all worldy, but that's the big deal, right? Like, clearly the people in charge are realizing now, oh, shit.
Yeah. And like in Latin America, I know a few countries have kind of put in some new proposals as far as like anyone who arrives has to be quarantined for 2 weeks. I think Israel did the same thing. So in the grand scheme of things, the NBA being canceled, like, or postponed, whatever, obviously is a shock to us in sports, but like, it's kind of like, oh, the tea leaves were kind of leading that way. And yeah, I think it's obviously the right call. I
mean, you didn't mean to, but you just set me up for a segue. So thank you. You talked about people traveling to new places being quarantined for 2 weeks. So the Chinese Basketball Association, back to basketball, announced today that they're trying to resume pretty soon, and they want a lot of their players who like are stars are former NBA players. Lance is among this group. Came to America when the Chinese league got suspended. That was January 30th. That got announced. I think the official date was February 4th or something. I was looking this up earlier. So all those players came to the USA. The Chinese league is saying, you come back, you're quarantined for 2 weeks and you're playing. So two things to take from that from the NBA is the quarantine period being 2 weeks means I would imagine at a bare minimum, and it's almost certainly going to be longer, the minimum we'll see no basketball is 2 weeks. But this Chinese league suspension was February 4th. Today is March 11th. That's a month. Add 2 weeks. It's basically a month and a half. It could even be mid-April or later. I mean, especially because they have to reschedule things in these stadiums, and it's a crazy amount of games, and there's playoffs and TV deals that I don't know how long it will be, but it seems like those two areas can be starting points. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I think so. I'm no expert, but from what I've gathered, that 2 week, 14-day thing is if you're asymptomatic at the end, you're probably good, even if you didn't get tested and you're no longer a carrier. So that would be like the minimum duration for the players to themselves to be safe. But then who knows where the country is at that point? Are right. we going to be able to have...
Maybe they could do 2 weeks and then games with no fans or something. I have no
idea. Right, right. I think it's going to be some time before you can have 20,000 people in a building.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Let's I wouldn't even be say. Surprised if they didn't do it for the playoffs.
Like, yeah.
Man. So what did Woj's official thing say about what the league would say? Oh, nothing. We'll use hiatus to determine next steps moving forward. So I don't think we'll learn anything for a few days probably.
My just initial projection was they would be done for 4 weeks minimum, maybe 6 weeks. And I guess what I'm curious of is if they're going to restart, I don't know how many games of the season we are, or how many we have left. Obviously, it's not a ton, but it is
15 some. To 20 for every team, basically.
Right. So do you play those games and then start the playoffs like normal? Because I guess I'm thinking, like, obviously it would be weird to have the NBA Finals in late August for some reason, but would it really, like, other than the arena rescheduling, which most of these teams have a pretty decent control of their arena, obviously there's probably things like rodeos and blah 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 that I don't know about. But when I think about the conflicts of these dates for the arenas, the main things are going to be like these, you know, tours and concerts,
right?
Which exactly. Half those things are going to get canceled anyways. I'm sure they all have insurance, you know, the way that those mega concerts are.
So would you think teams, I kind of doubt it, but would you think teams would go for 4-6 weeks, whatever, and then as soon as they're back, current records, standings, playoff start?
I mean, I would think you'd want to have, like, I guess I'm wondering is there any reason they can't play the full 82?
Right.
Well,
for example, the Pelicans, who A, you're hot as heck right now, and B, you have Zion, right? And you didn't have him early in the season. You want those last, whatever, 18 games of marketing money and a chance to make the playoffs, whereas if you're every other team that's played good for 62 games, you're like, whatever, our seed's fine, let's just do this.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I think all the teams, even like the Warriors and the Knicks and whoever, are definitely not making the playoffs. They still want that
extra the money.
$10 to $30 million of gate receipts, you know, so... other than like the draft and free agency and those things, like starting when they traditionally start, but isn't that all arbitrary? I mean, is there any, like, why can't you just hold the NBA draft in October? Like,
payments,
you know,
don't start.
Is that actually a problem?
Payments don't start till the season starts anyway, right? Like, players get their pay schedule is game one through game 82.
Right.
So I guess it wouldn't matter. I mean, it'd be weird, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the easiest thing is so you don't go completely almost like into next season would be like split the difference. And if there's 20 games left for your team, you end up playing 10 more and you cancel a few.
Yeah, Woj did say something about truncated. I want to find the
phrase. Which ones do you cancel and like which ones have playoff implications? Do the Celtics get to duck the Sixers, but then they get to play the Kings? You know, like that creates a lot of problems. And then the thing I haven't really considered is all the TV stuff. Like,
right.
again, ABC and ESPN and TNT.
That's why I think there's no way the season's canceled. That money is too big for them to cancel it. That it'll be a logistical nightmare, but I think basketball will come back at some point because people paid a shit ton of money to televise these games.
Right. And I don't see any reason unless literally this is like, well, obviously this could get really, 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 really bad as a nation and as a society. And if that happens, then it will be kind of obvious that basketball's not coming back. But to the degree this kind of passes and like, even if it's June 1st, like start the playoffs and just run the playoffs out normal, I think is,
yeah.
I think TNT, you know, ABC and ESPN, like what else are they airing in the summer that they can't like change their broadcast schedule? Like, I don't even know what's on anymore. Modern Family, is that still on? Suits?
Yeah.
You know, like golf.
Well, we're basketball dorks. We don't watch anything else.
Yeah.
It's certainly bizarre. I thought it was like very fascinating how fast this timeline worked because being it, like I thought leaving the Pacers game Tuesday that could be the last game I attended, but they did a pretty good job of hitting the transformation on the fly. You know, we sat every interview with players, coaches, whatever was in the press conference room that they have for when they sign new players or things like that. And then they brought in, you know, Oladipo, Sabonis, Turner, the guys that every media guy is going to want to talk to after the game, ask them the questions in there. And they, I'm guessing they preferred that, but it was a pretty smooth operation. Everybody was far away. I'm sure some of you saw the picture of Brian Scalabrine interviewing Brad Stevens and reaching across his 7 foot long former NBA arms so he could be as far away as possible. So just to go from, okay, here's our protective measures and me saying, wow, this actually worked pretty well. It was more difficult for everybody, but it wasn't like a problem. No one was complaining to we're done in a day was unbelievable.
Did it feel weird and eerie kind of being there? Like there was something somber going on, or did it just feel like kind of a more like of a playoff game? Like, you know, when you are in that press conference room.
Well, it was, you know what? It's because they played the Celtics, a team they could play in the playoffs. It actually just felt like an important game. Less so that it was just different, you know, cause everybody kind of knew, and you know, I think if they play, say if they were playing whatever, the Hornets or something, then I think it would have been the topic of conversation. It's like, whoa, this is what is happening, you know?
Right. Because Boston like brings more media anyway, so it does always feel a little bigger.
ESPN employee, you know, tons of guys travel with them. So that was all very fascinating. No locker room access was interesting. I was talking with a security guard who was like, yeah, like normally what he does is he stands out there and then you show him the badge, you go in. He's like, I literally have to block people out today. You know, it's totally different. But
it is funny, right? Because wasn't that the conversation on Twitter all day yesterday? Reporters kind of, oh, well, we better get access back and I'm not going to be able to get my featurette stories. And then yeah, like 24 hours later, it's like none of that mattered.
Selfishly now, I like the thing I was writing was like I asked a bunch of players and coaches like, hey, this is a playoff series with the Celtics. Like, what are the challenges for you? And I was like, is that appropriate? Do I wait? What is the – not that woe is me is the thing to say now, but it's like, what is this timeline going to look like for everybody? But I'm just so fascinated how this goes. You know what? Like, if they go into quarantine, if a Pacers player does have it, are we even going to find out? I kind of doubt it because I think they'll just let it skid away and then, you know, keep it under wraps while it's under suspension.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also kind of, I guess, like, I don't want to call it fully a PR thing, but like I've just heard today, even on Twitter, right? Like, oh, Rudy Gobert. It turns out there are plenty of tests available for an NBA millionaire. If they want to get a test in 5 minutes, they can. And I think Tom Hanks is in Australia, but it's the same thing that maybe they have way more tests in the United States. It might be not an issue there. I'm not sure. But like, you know, oh, so these rich. So like if it all comes out in the next like 4 days that like every 450 NBA players got tested, like that's a pretty kind of bad look for the league when there's,
aren't these hospitals like we can only test 200 people in a day or something.
Right. And, you know, people who are in their 80s and actually need this stuff and need ventilators as opposed to, you know, Victor Oladipo, who's like health concern is like a knee ligament, you know? Like,
yeah.
So
it seems so insignificant all of a sudden. Damn right. It, Jared. Yeah. Like, I was making a note today, like, okay, what am I going to talk about? You know, Pacers don't have a game tomorrow. Didn't have a game yesterday. You know, oh, Jeremy Lamb had surgery. Great. Something to talk about. Oh, Lance, I had all this stuff happen. And I'm like, nope, never mind. All coronavirus. So I'm really curious where the league goes from here. I don't know what the schedule is going to look like. I'm going to try to keep this show going. Jared, if you have any ideas for Pacers topics when they're not playing any basketball games in the immediate future, please let me know.
Well, I think we'll start getting some insight onto salary cap stuff pretty soon, depending on how many games we're missing and all that stuff. And
right, I'll talk about that tomorrow, guys. The short summary is basketball related income, BRI is the term the NBA uses, is how the salary cap is generated. So the league brings in a certain amount of money versus how much they estimate. If they make more than they estimate, the salary cap goes up. If they make less, it goes down, and they have these projections on how much you're going to make. So that's how they can estimate salary cap every year. This is certainly going to impact BRI. There's possibly less games on TV, definitely less fans in seats. Certainly this extension will draw interest away. So salary cap could go down. Pacers could literally have less money to spend. I'll go into more detail on that tomorrow. But yeah, that's the kind of long-standing stuff that I think the more nuanced discussions will start getting into tomorrow as the shock value goes down and all the stories from especially inside Oklahoma and Utah right now really die down. I'm sure there's something else I'm missing, right? There has to be.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, there's got to be some sort of legal stuff involved as well. I mean, depending upon what the contract, I mean, a $24 billion contract for airing these games for the national rights and everything. There's got to be a stipulation for, you know, long-term cancellation or stuff like that. I don't know if the NBA is already like just by delaying these games, if they're giving up money, if that's all provisioned for, if there's some giant insurance contract that kind of, you know, can make both sides whole. I honestly have no idea. And that's not even talking about whether we miss a month of games.
If it comes out that like 25 of 30 owners sold all their TNT stock like 5 days ago, should we, you know, something sketchy is going on.
Well, that's maybe to put some humor into this is that just perfect. I think within an hour before the announcement was made, you know, there was the Woj report that the teams are gathering. Some owners want a hiatus. Some want to play games with no fans. And then the Knicks want just business as usual. We need to get every $1 million seat filled. Like just
the only team that wanted to wait on the health department was the Knicks, of course. I love the way Woj phrases it when he thinks teams do stupid things too.
Even in a global crisis, in a unprecedented, historic situation for the league, the Knicks still come out looking like idiots.
Yeah, this is certainly going to be fascinating. Of course, the most important thing is player health, right? Because as soon as it came out, this is probably my last thought on this. The first thing that came out today was there's going to be no fans. And I was shocked, but I thought, I think they're just going to suspend the games at some point because I think a player health nightmare comes before a logistical nightmare. Well, now they have both. So I think it's going to be very fascinating to track, especially from teams with confirmed cases already, to see how this spreads and see what the league can do. It's going to be super interesting, and I don't really know what to think and what to expect.
And last thing I'm going to say is bring it back a little more global is I think I'm not in any way saying this is a good thing. It's a terrible outcome. It would be better if it wouldn't happen. But we've seen kind of these vectors infecting each other in a nursing home, I think on the cruise ship, obviously in cities around the world. But this, I've got to imagine there's a few other NBA players who have this now. Just based upon the interactions on court and, you know, how they touch each other and all that. I would think they would. And, you know, it will be, I guess, very worrying for the world if any of these world-class athletes, you know, kind of come down with it and have, you know, worst case, but like if they get hit pretty hard, I guess we may learn a little more about how worse this can be than the average flu just for the type of, you know, people in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, if LeBron James is bedridden, I do not feel good for.
There you go. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, non-robot people. Jared, thank you for joining me to add more nuance to this discussion. It's going to be really hard to find basketball topics to talk about. I mean, I have to. It's the job of the show, and people like talking about sports, including myself. But sometimes bigger things happen, and you have to talk about it.
Yeah, glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll talk more about that salary cap stuff and Lance. And honestly, coronavirus is affecting the Lance situation too. So stay tuned for that. I hope everybody can stay healthy and safe and have a great rest of your day and week.